This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. Today, CG can't make it, but I've got a beautiful soul returning guest. Amina Imani is here joining me. Hi, Amina.
What's up, Kate? Hey.
So, Amina, you just recorded a big time thing. You have like a 9-minute set out on Comedy Central. Like, do you want to describe it better than that?
No, I mean, Comedy Central, they place out short sets of comedians that they support or they want to highlight. I was chosen to be one of those comedians, and I was able to have a set that's now it's on YouTube on Comedy Central, and it's been viewed. And, you know, I don't have like any ugly comments, like not nothing like really nasty. So that's been interesting. I was like, okay, so this feels safe. I don't know if that's a good thing as a comedian to have safe comments, but I was like, I'll take it. But yeah, so yeah, I have a special short set on Comedy Central. I was featured. And so, yeah, that was actually nice to record. It was actually really, really great to record. And it was one of my best tapes ever. So I'm happy about it. I'm happy
about
it.
Nervous, excited, all of it.
I wasn't as excited. I realized that the nature of this business is not really celebratory when you it's very toxic. You know what I mean? Because even the way comedians treat other comedians, it's as if we don't have gifts, and we do. Like, to make people laugh is a gift. Yes, a lot of people may have that gift, but it's still not easy. You have to work very hard about it. But no one really gives people compliments, or no one really pats you on the back unless it's something like exceptional or exceeding some level of where we all gave. You know, like literally, we complain about like, oh, we got to be a certain way for people to treat. And it's like, that's because we all do it. So I actually was told to my, like from other people, they were actually upset. Like, you didn't tell us, you're not excited. Like, what's this energy about? And then I had to check myself like, huh, why is that? And I realized that that is really the nature of the beast. Like, you look to get something and then you're looking to get something else. And so you may fall short of even feeling away or getting excited about it. So I think I lacked in the area of excitement, but I was very nervous because I was just like, wow, this is gonna live permanent on the internet. There are actually some things that's on the internet that I want down. I tried to take down, they're not taking it down. So then that just kind of put me in a different mindset of, okay, like what can you stand by for the rest of your life? You know what I mean? So it was very nerve-wracking. But all in all, the outcome of the video, I feel like was really great, and how everything kind of came together, even the look, nothing I really like had to give too much energy to. So I felt like it did happen in a good time, because I'm like, if I was asked to do this 5 years ago, what would have been different? You know what I mean? Like, So I just was grateful that it happened when it happened, and I'm very proud and pleased of it. But it was nerve-wracking, like, before I even got on stage. I was just like, because it's always this idea of, like, no matter how funny you know the jokes are, no matter how many times you've said it, there's still their possibility of someone not laughing at it. Like, that's how it is. It's unpredictable every time we get on stage. So in my mind, that's all I could kind of think about. Like, dang, man, like, they could just not like you, you know? But I'm glad it happened, because I realized in those situations, you're actually set up to really, really win. Like, they were actually overlapping. It got to the point where in my mind, while I was on stage, I was like, hey, like, I wanted to stop and be like, hey, so I kind of want this to be natural. Can y'all actually turn the laugh? But then I just let it rock. But in no situation, it made me realize, like, especially in the taping situation, people are not coming with that energy of, like, you know, boo, you know, like, people want to see you win. They want to see you do good, and they want to have a good time. So it was a huge relief. It was really, really well received. And so I'm just happy about that.
I mean, you had an amazing set. Thank you. I was very proud. You look amazing. Like, your outfit, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, how long did it take her to pick that perfect outfit? It fits amazing. It pops, but it's not too crazy.
Yeah. Like, your body, well, I had worn it before. And I think that during that time, I was so stressed out about so many other things. I was like, I can't even fathom going out and looking for an outfit. So I kind of just went through my looks, and I was like, what has worked for you in the past that was, like, very effortless, and, like, you didn't have to, like, you could sweat in it? Because I'm a sweater. Like, I drench and sweat. So I was just thinking about, like, what can you pull up, you know, from the archives that, you know, is solid, is dependable, and less stressful. I was really like, I'm choosing ease. So I remember, even with my hair, I do my hair in all sorts of type of styles, but I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do that style because I know it works. I'm gonna do that outfit. I bought some new Nikes, some fresh kicks that I love to this day. That was probably the most that I could put into that. And yeah, honestly, I sent that video to my aunt, and she texted me that nice outfit. So even if people didn't think the jokes were funny, it seems like I won in that category too.
It's all of it. It was all of it. You like brought it jokes wise, and also it, like, the outfit stuck out to me, and I'm paying more attention. I've always liked fashion, but I'm embracing that I like it more, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, Amina, she picked a good outfit. Yeah, the shoes, the hair, the jokes, and the confidence. You didn't seem nervous. That's why I wanted to know.
Oh, I was very nervous. I was like, woo. I was like, because I still, up until even getting there, I'm like, what joke are you going to end with? And that's why it kind of cut abruptly, because I wasn't, like, sure about the landing, but it all worked out. So, but up until that point, I was just like, dang, like, you know, what you gonna do? And I was like, I don't know, but let's just ride it out. So, and then it made it better that I got there, and they was like, hey, just have fun. However much time you want to do, you can do. So that was a relief too, because at first I thought it had to be like a tight 7 minutes. And I was just like, tight 7 minutes? People don't know, like, a tight seven is harder than a good 15. Like, it, to me, tight seven is like bang, 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 shoot them up. 15 is like, you know, you can stretch, you can lean, you can wink, you got time to, like, what y'all talk about? Like, you, but no, 7 minutes is like, you gotta get straight to it. So yeah, it all worked out. I was very, very pleased. Yeah, I had a good time too.
Yeah, I was very proud to see it. I remember meeting you still. You were right from Atlanta. You were the most bright-eyed. I'm not saying you're not bright-eyed now, but you were different.
I'm not. I look at young people like probably how people looked at me when I first got on the scene. Like, you still got dreams. You believe in yourself. Like, look at you.
You're so cute. We were at some random show. It wasn't a comedy club. It was like a regular club that they turned into like a little stage. And
you talking about in Jersey? Was that in Jersey?
I forget where it was, but you had braces and like,
oh my brightest, God.
You just were so excited. You were like, huh, like, and I just remember being like, oh, she's so nice and so funny. And like, to then also just see that set now and like, just the kind of confidence. Obviously, I was like, she must have been at least a little nervous before. I've never done a TV set or anything that I haven't been nervous. Like,
yeah, it's nerve-wracking.
It's nerve-wracking, actually.
It yeah. is. So, but I'm like, I turned my phone off earlier that day. I stayed to myself. I was actually running the set so much that week. The night before, I was supposed to do two shows. And I canceled last minute. Because I was like, if I run this set again, I'm going to not like myself. And I need to like myself on this. Literally, because I was just like, I wanted it to be perfect. So I was like, let me go and run. But like, you don't know, every show could be different. And I remember I was like at a show in Union Square and the crowd was like, you know, they look like they all own guns. You know what I'm saying? They all own guns. They're Republicans. So I'm trying to do this set. And they're just like, not even giving me. And I was like, I mean, if you do these jokes in the front of another crowd and they tear your spirit, girl. So I texted everybody. I was like, hey, I'm going to just stay home. I need to rest. And I'm so glad I did that because I was going to run myself to the ground with that set or trying to figure out what I wanted to do and where I wanted to put jokes. So everything worked out, though.
Yeah, it was good. Okay, next topic's a little random. Been in my head for a bit. I just want to know what you think about regrets. I try to live in a way, at least like I've heard these quotes and I believe them, of like, there's no point in regrets because if you take away a stepping stone in your journey, the whole path crumbles. Yeah. So I do try to see everything as a lesson that caused me to evolve and become more me. But I wanted, although, you know, sometimes I look back and I'm like, oh, I kind of regret that, even though I don't believe in regrets.
I think that's healthy. That's natural to feel regrets. Like, even though they say don't have regrets, I think you processing your grief in a healthy way is you acknowledging, hey, I wish I would have did that different. Like, I've actually been on a path earlier this year to where I've reached out to people and was like, hey, I really wish that I would have responded different in that situation. And I think that's a healthy way to process something that you feel like you could have handled different or you could have taken advantage of. Like, I regret stop working in hospitality. I was working in hospitality. It was the easiest job. I got paid mad money. I met amazing people and I was getting bonuses. I had benefits. I look back at that today and I'm like, girl, you would like, that's what you need now. And you had this. So I think regrets is a natural and a healthy thing. Like, you can regret some stuff. I mean, you don't have to like beat yourself up about it. Like, I think that's the difference, right? When you have regrets and you be like, see, you stupid, you dumb, you never get this right. Now that's negative energy. But if you just look back at something and you realize you had it, you know, good, or you could have done something different. I think that's all just about a learning curve, you know? Just don't dwell on it and let it take away from you taking actions and steps now. But I look back at, I'm like, I had all the time in the world. I was very young. I thought I was going to be young forever and I was acting like it. And now I look back and I'm like, if I would have just preserved a little bit of the youth, just a little bit of the juice.
Yeah,
that I wrung myself out like a washcloth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, and now I'm over here like, oh. You know, so I think it's healthy to acknowledge, hey, this could have been done different. This didn't have to be this way or whatever the case is. And then it's also healthy to acknowledge, had it not, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. Boom.
Exactly.
So, but you asking me do I have any regrets? All that to say, what's the question?
I mean, you don't have to like name any. I really love your outlook on it. I try to feel similar ways, but I do look back at some things and go, that was not the way to handle it, you know?
100%.
Yeah. So, and yet you can't dwell, you can't beat yourself up. And I think a lot of people are in that place and it's like, you gotta let it go.
I remember one time I got in an argument with a friend and I went on Twitter and I was blasting his business. on Twitter. And people was hitting me up. Some people was really appreciating, like, yo, that's funny. Other people were like, that man, he had to do him like that. But now I look back and I didn't have to do him like that. Like, that is not a healthy way to treat someone that you once cared for. You know what I mean? And just blast their personal business that could potentially get them into some criminal charges, right? So I think that's a mature way to say, hey, like, honestly. And I remember even writing him an email after the fact, and I'm pretty sure it may have fell on deaf ears. Sometimes you do have to, like, send that energy to people without talking to them directly. But it's okay for you to process and understand, like, hey, I was immature in that moment. You have faults. We're not perfect. Like, hey, that was wrong. That was deceitful. I've lied. I've cheated on people. I've stolen money. Like, I've done things that were not who I am today or who I want to be moving forward. But if I act like it didn't exist, then that means I'm not being honest with myself. So yeah, it's a lot of things that I look back at and be like, you didn't have to do it like that. I mean, you really didn't. And even still to this day, I feel like I'm reluctant in making decisions because I don't want to feel the way I felt about my past decisions. But then I have to check myself and say, hey, you're only doing your best. You know, what is a right or wrong decision? Unless it feels right for you. Right. You know what I mean? So everything's subjective. I just think, like, at the end of the day, like, I was even talking to my aunt earlier today, you did your best. I even had to realize that with my parents. Yes, my parents didn't do everything that I feel like I would have done as a parent, right? Like, now I'm in the hot seat and I'm like, I'm not doing it that way. But that doesn't make me perfect or better. Like, I'm actually just more in a position to be able to make that decision. But, like, my grandmother was my age with 9 kids. She had to choose what kids she was going to bring to America or not. Hell no, I ain't trying to make that kind of decision. Wow. And I can't fathom what the process would be at this age with one, I only got 1 kid, right? I'm struggling, 100% struggling. 9 kids at this age? Who going to come with me to America? Absolutely not. So I had to go even and process that and be like, hey, they're doing... Like, and not even, you don't even have to give them credit and say they're doing their best, but they did what they could do. They thought they did what they could do. That's it. And so you got to give yourself that same grace. I'm doing my best. I'm doing what I can do. You know, some days, like today, I was like, you should get up and cook before this podcast. I said, no, I want to rest. I want to lay on top of the 2 large laundry bags of clothes that I did not fold, and I'm gonna rest. And so that's what I did.
I love it.
And I did my best.
I love it. Now, I know, I forget the exact timing, but when you had your amazing son, Nasir, I don't want to say you didn't quit comedy, but you stepped back for a little bit to, like, take care of yourself.
In my mind, I did quit comedy.
Yeah, I remember, maybe it was in my mind I knew you were coming back, or maybe it was my denial.
Yeah, you and a few other people was like, hit me up, like, when you coming back? In my mind, I was like, I can't, I'm a mother now. Mothering comedy doesn't work. I have to go get a job. I have to be responsible. Like, you should hear how I was talking to myself. Like, it's not about you. You don't have permission to be free. Like, these are the things that I was telling myself when I became a mother. And thank God, not a long enough time, what, it was like 6 months or so, I actually, maybe 6 or I think when I found out I was pregnant, so during the pregnancy, and then maybe a few months after that. So it was about 6 or 9 months in total that I was just like telling myself those things, like, you have to make better decisions, it's not about you, you know, you need to give up this, you need to give up that, and yeah, that's what I was, and you can't have this, you can't, I was just like, it was just, I was really trying to, like, you know, not reprimanding, what is it when you, discipline, like, I was kind of like, you know how you
were kind of like beating yourself up in a sense, where, I know what you're saying though, there's a better word,
but I was trying to make myself pay for what I did, whatever that word is. And it was just I was punishing is the word, and I was punishing myself with those thoughts. And so for a long time, I thought that I was making the best decision by not following, you know, what I love to do. Yeah, so it was crazy. But I did take a step back. I did stop comedy. And thankfully, people, you know, shout out to Nico White, because he never gave up. He was relentless. Derek Gaines. These were people who kept texting like, hey, I know you want me to stop texting you, but I'm not until I see you on stage. And I was well, you get ready to continue to text me forever. Like, I like to challenge people like that. I'm like, well, we'll see who wins this battle. And no, they won. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like once you get bit by the stand-up comedy bug, no matter what your journey is, if it's in you, it's in you. You know what I mean? So that's just what it was. But ultimately, I realized that I would only be the best example to my son if I really did follow my heart and pursue the things that I felt was right for myself. And so that's all I want to show him. Like, even now, I'm like, I know he's going to look back. Like, who knows? My son's probably going to get up and be like, yo, I hate eucalyptus on the shower. Like, I don't like burning incense. Like, he could turn completely against me, right? With all my seances and energies and vibes, right? But ultimately, that's who I was. I'm staying true to who I am. And I thought, I'm doing my best, right? So, and that's just what it is. So, yeah. I was like, you gotta do it.
Mm-hmm. I think the whole journey of it was amazing because I got to be there and you were just following your heart and you had a lot of other voices coming at you, whether it was actually other people or their voices had gotten inside. And mm-hmm. I got to witness at every point, whether it was hard or not,
me turning
your heart and your intuition and just what you thought was best. And even when you took a step back, it's because you thought that's what was best at the time and you listen to you. And I just think it's cool that the whole time you listen to your body, you listen to your heart, and now look at you and you're still finding balance. I mean, I'm sure it's so hard being a mom, being a comedian. You do a lot of things that you piece together and yet you're doing it and you're following your dreams. I know it's not easy, but mm-hmm. I think it's really cool.
It's not at all. Yeah, it's crazy because people used to tell me, I bet you it's not easy. And in my mind, I don't know why I feel like I got to prove people wrong no matter what they say. But some things it's like, you don't have to take that on, sis. And so for a while, I think I was taking it on to be like, no, this is it. I'm not sure. And now I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe y'all had a point. Y'all was right. But yeah, it is hard. It is hard. But I think that it gives me perspective about when someone really wants to do something, it doesn't matter what the obstacles are. They do still make it happen. And so that energy can't be matched right now. So it's like whoever's trying to match you, they're gonna have to pull up, but also understand that the standard is there. Like it's not gonna be easy, right? But if you really wanna make it happen, it will happen. So that's what I'm about. And so I'm glad that's what I can take away from it all.
Yeah. And Nasir is a really cool kid. I haven't spent too much time with him recently, but every time I do check in with him, he's just beaming. He's happy. He's free. He's outgoing, which I love, but different than your outgoing.
And no, he's on a whole nother level. He's on a whole nother level. And that's why, honestly, like, I think it makes it even more harder because he is such a gifted and outstanding child, and those kids require a lot. You know what I mean? Like, he requires, like, he already has a village, and I'm still like, we need more. You feel me? Because he is that much of a powerful individual. And so, yeah, he is one of a kind. It's actually annoying, but I'm working with it. We working through it. I can't believe he'll be 8. He'll be 8 in 6 months. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's becoming a little man. Like the last time we spoke, he had these manners and the way he held himself. And I was like, oh, he's working his way to be president. Okay.
And he challenges everything I say. Everything.
Well, he gets that from you because.
And don't, I mean, I tell this man that I'm eating a certain way and I had put a list on the fridge and I didn't even know what I was doing to myself. And every time I'll just be in the kitchen eating my food, he'll come and look on the list and he'll look at my plate. He'll be like, okay. And I'll be like, excuse me. He was like, I was just making sure you were eating what you were supposed to be eating. Okay, mom. What? he is something else. He is.
Shane's like that with me, though. I think maybe for me, I'll speak on my, I won't speak for you, but I think my wildness, at least, like going to the stage, and because Shane would come a lot until I stopped. Mm-hmm. I had some comics.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stop taking Shane so much. And I took it in. Now he wants to go a lot more. He might even want to start comedy, but now he's 15. It's his own journey. But
wow.
I know. But yeah, no, Shane always really like looked at me analytically because I think he saw me as a little bit out of pocket. So Shane was always looking over like, are you doing this right? Or did you know, and sometimes I'd be offended, but overall I like that he's so together, and Shane still is. He gets such great grades. He's just on it, you know.
He performed it?
What'd you say?
Has he performed it?
He wants to. I'm going to his singing choir concert Tuesday. So he performs that way, but he has not done stand up yet. I think
has he written anything
for a mic?
Has he written anything down?
He did like a year and a half ago, and now he's gonna rewrite some of that and write new stuff because now it's a year and a half past. But he's kind of forming. He has some stuff. I told him he can include me in there. You know, I told jokes about being a mom, so it's fair game.
This is too good. Well, let me know when the show is because I gotta go. I gotta pull up ASAP.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Okay, the next topic I want to talk about, because we talked about regrets, and we kind of already were getting to this and what we were talking about, but miracles. Do you believe in miracles?
What's the definition of a miracle, Kate?
That's a great question.
Yeah, well, somebody told me the other day. They was like, I admire you. And I had to look up admire, and it's just kind of like holding someone in a higher regard. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I admire you too. So I was able to do that. But sometimes you got to look up these words to see what exactly you're saying. So let me look up miracle. Let's get the definition.
Yeah, let's get the definition.
A surprising and welcoming event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be a work of a divine agency. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I do believe in miracles, a highly improbable, extraordinary event, development, or accomplishment that brings very welcome consequences. An amazing product or achievement, outstanding example of something. Absolutely. That sounds like the marathon I just ran. That was a whole miracle. that was a miracle times 3,000. So yeah, I definitely believe in miracles. I do. I think that's what kind of gives me peace and ease as I process all of the hard and tough decisions that I feel like I face these days. Is kind of like, at the end of the day, all of the things that were against you prior to now have all aligned to be for your better. Mm. So, and that's because miracles. That's because you can't see it. You don't know you can't fathom how it's gonna go, right? But at the end of the day, boom, next thing you know, the light appears and here you are standing, you know, on number one as a winner in your life. So I think that miracles come from your faith. I believe in God. I actually believe in Jesus. I also believe in angels. I also believe in my ancestors. So I feel like I'm just kind of like a spiritualist when it comes to things like that. And so, yeah, miracles are definitely real. My marathon was a miracle. How it came about was like, it did not even make sense. Like, I remember just speaking it. And then next thing you know, somebody was like, hey, we actually need people to run. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll run with you guys. And then next thing you know, they was like, oh, we just need you to raise some money. And I was like, okay. And then the pandemic happened. And I was like, ooh, Black Lives Matter. And then I was like, ah, no marathon. And then I got an email that was like, actually, you could just pay this money to run a marathon. And then next thing you know, I ran a marathon. So it was like, I feel like that in itself is a miracle, because everything that I felt like could deter me from not running it, it was still like at my door, like, hey, yeah, so I know that you thought that this was over. And so then I literally was like Googling, what's the least amount of time I can train for a marathon? Like, that's me, right? Because I'm still not trying to give it all I got. What's the least amount? It was like 3 months. And I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna wait till 3 months. And literally a week before 3 months is when I started training. I had everything going on. I'm like traveling. My son had got COVID. I actually had tonsillitis. I passed out, scraped up my knee. It was like, and still I was past that finish line. Like, it was nothing. So that's when I read the definition of a miracle, that actually reminds me. But that's what I told myself. I said, I want more miracles in my life. I want more unexpected, divine, intentional purposes in my life. And so that's why I'm trying to like kind of just be in a space to be open and receive that. But yeah, miracles are real for sure.
Wow, I love that. How many miles is a marathon?
26.2.
No way on my end. I've been running like run walking up to 3, and I think I'm amazing. Like, I do that and I'm like, I'm like you did it. Like,
honestly, I need that kind of confidence, Kate, because I always push it to the 26.2 in anything I do. If it ain't 26.2, I'm not pleased, right? I wish that I could just run 3 miles and be like, girl, you are what's our girl's name who was in Olympics? I don't want to mess it up. Black Girl Magic was all in track and field. So I'm mad that I'm messing it up. Shakara Richardson.
I usually don't follow Olympics, but I know what you're talking about. And like on Instagram, I would see like amazing, magical Black women popping up with like the most athletic, beautiful bodies and like souls bright. And I was like, all right, they're doing great. But like, I don't follow, maybe I should follow Olympics more. I mean, I'm starting to appreciate just being in shape more and how connected it is to spiritual growth. Because I kind of lost touch with it for a bit when I was battling Lyme disease really, really badly. So I kind of, to like not feel bad about it, was like, screw people who work out. Like, you know, like I just got real like, you don't need to do that. And now that I'm like slowly building my muscle back, I'm like, no, it feels so good to be competent in that area when you can be. And like, yeah, it's definitely a miracle that you were able to run that many miles. I can't even imagine mentally being able to do that. Like, I get so ADD bored after like a certain amount of time.
I feel like when it came to even training, I've never prayed so much. It reminded me of when I had Nasir. I've never prayed so much in my life. It was just the everyday constant prayer. Like, I even remember I thought I was going to be running to like ATL music trap music. Every time I went outside, I turned on gospel music. And I was just like, it took a minute because it was just so, because first of all, I used to be an athlete. So that's the thing. I think it's a gift and a curse because a lot of people are like, oh, you got this because you was an athlete. But being an athlete has you at a standard of an athlete. It doesn't have you at a standard for average activity. So as I'm in my life now as an average person, I still have expectations of this athlete. And so because I'm only performing here, but I want to be where I used to be, that is a whole struggle. That's like discouraging on 1,000 levels, you know what I mean? So when I first started back even out running, I was looking at my 11-minute miles like, I have a whole 3 months. How is this going to work out? I'm going to have to run at this pace for 3 months. There's no way I'm going to be able to. And then it started getting spiritual. Like, be glad that you outside. Be glad. Like, it was like, I trust you, Lord. Like, it literally just got real church vibes on every run that I would do. And then eventually, as I was gaining clarity, because I remember talking to my friend, she's like, you never think things through, you never. And I'm like, I'm outside running 12 miles. I just ran, yeah, I thought it through. I just busted out a good, yeah, I thought it. That's all I need, you know? And so I think that's what really was the benefit. It took me away from a lot of grief that I was facing even during that time. Like, I had just given up liquor and weed, which, I mean, I say that and people just be like cool about it, but I had become very, very attached to these substances, you know what I mean? And whether we sit back and some people are like, I don't think it was unhealthy. I think it was, whether we sit and try to gauge, either way, it was something that I did not or could not have anymore. And it was a lot. It changed the game. It changed like who I hung out with. It changed how much I went out, how often I went out. It changed what I was eating. It just changed everything. And so I was just like, I felt a little detached from my old self. And then after a while, I found myself crying one day because I was just like, I'm never going to be that person ever again. So I'm like a true loser. But I was devastated. When I turned 34, I was devastated. I was just like, the old fun of Mina is gone.
Aww.
Ride like a baby. But now I'm on the other side of that. And I'm just kind of like, yo, the other Mina was wild. She had low self-esteem for about 2 decades. If you really want to come through that. She was fun. But she also was a people pleaser. And that was quite annoying too. So now I'm on the other side of that. So it's much better. But yeah, girl, 100%, nothing but a miracle.
I'm proud that you're no longer a people pleaser, except for the fact that I get less cute emoji stuff. Like, I'm like, because you know me, I'm very sensitive and like I try to not take things personally, but like, yeah, you've been less like, even, you know what I mean? Like, which is, it's fine. We're both adult women. Like, I need to just trust our bond. Like, when I get like a cute emoji,
yeah, it
I'm like, okay,
change.
And he hates me. I'm like, it's fine. I'll try to cope with this. No. Maybe I'll have to go for a run to cope with my grief.
No, and honestly, I've been in such a mood to where I really don't feel like doing much of anything lately. So even texting you is a task. Even like, so it's not anything personal. It's really just me and my own stuff.
I'm like, are we podcasting at noon? You're like, sure. I'm like, oh my God, she hates me. But I can't say that to you because like our whole friendship, you've been like chill, like you need to calm down. So like, if I do that, it's not going to work well for me. So
no, but also communicate with me, right? So I do this thing where my sisters hate. They hate it. They're like, we need more. So now, like they say, like especially like, hey, if you repost something that I posted about you on Instagram, can you at least just make a note? That like they say things like that to me. But in my mind, I'm just like, I'm doing the bare minimum just to kind of like do. I'm not really trying to be extra. I'm not trying to overachieve anymore when it comes to other people, right? Like I'm like fully engulfed with myself. So, but they'll tell me like, hey, we need, hey, And so then that's when I'm like, oh, okay, my bad. So I'll be more mindful and cognizant, but that's okay. Just the wave I'm on.
I'll grow up a little bit there, but like, you know, but you reminded me to not take things personally when I first brought it up. I was like, don't even bring it up to her. Just be cool. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, why aren't you being as nice on text? But I'm really about people setting boundaries, doing less people pleasing. Like, don't give the smile emoji if you're not feeling it. If you are feeling it, great. But like, if you're just giving and you don't have anything to give, you're depleting yourself. So I'm all about
it. Yeah. And I'm glad that you give me that space because it's necessary. Like a lot of people have taken offense to the space that I'm in. And it's like, it has nothing to do with anybody personally. It's really just, I don't have it no more. I don't have it. Not right now, you know. I feel like my friend asked me today, she's like, are you feeling good? I said, to be honest, I felt worse and I'm grateful for how I feel now. And I hope that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say I'm good, excellent, you know, it's just, I'm here and let's work with that. Okay. I'm present. Bear with me.
You look great. Your arms are so like in shape. Like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, like I'm so impressed that you did that marathon thing. I'm not, like, I go on social media kind of, but I don't scroll like I used to for so many
years.
I went to do a thing 4 or 5 years ago, talk about regrets, where I even unfollowed people that I should not have unfollowed. I was trying to get a certain kind of like space and boundary, and I did it in a way of like, cutting, do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the right way because I didn't know in that time. So like, I can really respect, and you're doing it in a whole different way, which sounds healthier than the way I was doing it back then. But I always support someone doing what they need to do to sustain themselves. Like,
good, thank you, I appreciate that. But that's important. You have to, if you want to remain in their lives.
Well, when I had no energy to give, like at my most painful place with like the Lyme and the headaches, like, it's like, okay, Shane gets my energy and I get my energy. And now like my boyfriend gets my energy. Like those are the first when I have nothing, you know, it's like first me, make sure I eat, make sure I can like function. And then, you know, so it's like, I had to create almost.
You better
like,
than me. Cause now still don't even get my energy. I be telling him, I'm like, hey, I tell him, I say, hey, I don't have the patience. He be like, but I have to have all the patience. And I said, well, you're 7. So you're kind of good on the patience. I'm like, I'm 34. So we ain't maxed out, but. You know, the rubber band don't stretch as long. You feel me?
I've done the same thing though. And I always felt guilty. I still do, you know, is like when I can't give as much as I want to give. Like when you're a mom.
I think the best thing is before, right? My mom never really used to explain a lot of things to us, right? And so then when we found ourselves doing those things and we didn't know why, I think that was the disconnect, right? So now my son does ask a lot of questions and it is sometimes annoying. But even in those spaces of me feeling guilty of taking my space or needing the time that I have, I'm like, at least you communicated. He won't know. He won't be in a position to where he can't answer that question. Oh, why did your mom feel that way? Or why did your mom need that space? Or why did your mom kind of shut down? So I try to talk to him as much as possible. And as I feel he's capable of understanding that, hey, these are human emotions. And even when he does things and or he has to follow rules or I try to tell him that I can relate to that. That's something that is going to always be in your human existence. So that's all I can do. I just hope for the best, but I'm not going to feel guilty about, you know, like he's 7. He's able to use the restroom on his own. He's able to entertain himself. He's actually able to cook now. So if I'm not able, if I just don't want to do those things that day, it is okay. Because for the past 7 years, you were doing it every single day.
Right.
So it's like, give yourself permission to do what you need to do. And that's just that.
Yeah, I love that. All right. Our last topic for the podcast is, and I don't think I've ever asked you this in all the years I've known you, what's the difference or the differences between New York City and Atlanta? Because you grew up in Atlanta, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm like, wait, am I messing that up? No, because I know you have family elsewhere. I don't know if I'm supposed to say where you have family now, but like DC, no one's going to. But I know that you grew up in Atlanta. So what are the differences? Like, I know you still go back and you travel and you visit, but I would love to hear.
Well, the biggest difference is variety, right? So in Atlanta, and they're growing and they're developing, but when I was in Atlanta, it was like Black, white. And then we have Latinos like in Dunwoody or whatever, right? But for the most part, you know, like even my mom finding a community of Panamanian friends, because she's Panamanian, was like later in my life, like high school. But for the whole time, it was Black, white, right? I leave Atlanta and the first thing I get to New York, I'm like, oh, she Black. Oh, that she's speaking Spanish, French. So it started, it got real, you know, the seasons got different, right? So like in Atlanta, we got salt and pepper. In New York, it's like cumin, cayenne, Italian, you know what I'm saying? So that's the major difference, you know what I mean? And I feel like for me, and I go back to Atlanta, I've been going back. It has not been a year that I do not go back to Atlanta, even since I haven't lived there. And you know what you're gonna get when you go to Atlanta. Now things are different. You know, we got gentrification. So like they put in breweries in the hood. So now you're like, well, hold on. They, you know, y'all making beer in the West End. What's up? So it is developing in an unexpected way. But I feel like in New York, I've been here now for 12 years and I'm still, every day I learn something new about this damn city. You know what I mean? It's just, it's amazing. Is eye-opening, but also you got some of everybody here. You got some of everybody in New York. So I think that's really the major difference. You know, like Atlanta, Atlanta was just, is kind of very predictable. Like you have people that have, like I go back home, my coach is still the coach at the swim pool that I grew up at. That's not how it works in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like you like some jobs, right, are familiar and consistent, but Atlanta is like you go back to that post office and Miss Mary is still working at that post office. You go back to that church and the pastor is still you know what I mean? And so that is what Atlanta has been for me. And I've always respected it too, because I'm like, you know, I just actually went to Ghana and the lady had to open a business in Ghana. And the way it works is you have to sign a lease for 5 years. And I was like,
wow,
could you imagine signing a lease for like, we barely want to sign a year lease in an apartment that you know damn well you about to be in next year, but you still just kind of like, I don't know, because it feels good, right? So I just think that it takes a different muscle to be able to envision and picture what you're going to do in a 5-year span and know and stick to it. I respect that, but that's the energy in Atlanta. Like people are like, I'm going to get this house. I'm going to be in this house. I'm going to raise my kids in this house. My kids are going to raise this kids in it. And so that is why I love Atlanta, because it is always going to be familiar. You always going to know something going to be, you know what I mean? Like something is going to remind you of the crib you slept in when you were a baby. You feel me? And so that's the difference. But New York, next week, you know, look, they burned a tree down at the Fox. You know what I'm saying? Like stuff is just not going to be here. You feel me? Like the train station going to be different. They build an elevator. Like it's something going to be, you know, so that's the difference.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. And I wouldn't have thought that, you know, well, it makes sense now that you're saying it, but that's so interesting. So was I one of your first white Jewish friends ever? Because now I know in comedy, you've got a bunch of white Jewish girls that you fuck with pretty hard. I used to be one of your only white Jewish friends, but now I'm just one of the many. But if it was more like separated, was I like one of your like first, like, oh wow, this white chick's kind of cool. She's kind of nerdy and kind of annoying.
You were one of my first white best friends. I will say you are as close as it gets to like, and only because like I grew up in a very Afrocentric neighborhood. So like it was a rites of passage. Like when I was five, I was stepping, talking about Malcolm X and you know what I'm saying? So for me, I think like that kind of level of awareness does kind of put a barrier between you and another community just because you're aware so much and you don't know how to process that, right? Like obviously you not on that wave, we good vibes. But from what I was raised and learned and educated on, which is the truth of the matter. Like at the end of the day, my family ain't in the wrong for teaching me what the hell is going on and has continued to go on. But you know, how I processed and dealt with that, I've never been close like that. And so, yeah, you were like one of the first white girls. I was like, oh no, I can see, I love you. That's my boo.
I'm gonna say you immediately regret it because I'm getting too nerdy, but
yeah, exactly.
But it's the same for me.
Okay, I feel like in a sense, like we kept each other going. Like I really wish we kept going. Like I didn't know how important Kate and Amina was until I look back now, and I'm like, you know, that was something that you know, like you wrote like. We don't give ourselves enough credit. So like think of an idea and execute it is more than half the battle, right? Because it's so many ideas we think of, or even that I thought of now, that are still just written down on a piece of paper. So, you know, you got to give yourself credit. Like we really did get together, think of something, produced it and made it happen. And so I'm forever grateful for that. I still laugh at that stuff to this day.
I mean, we made good stuff, you know, like Chloe was amazing. She was helping. We had the best guest appearances from our friends. Like it's talented people too, who were coming in, like, but we'd obviously didn't have like the fanciest stuff because we were doing it all ourselves.
No, but we worked. I think that is the purpose of being a creative. And I think as we've gotten older, as I've gotten older, I've lost sight of that because so many other things matter, like kind of eat tomorrow, right? But ultimately, that is what it's about. We used what we had, we made the best of it, and we had a good ass time. Like we really genuinely, like I still see Derek to this day and I give him long hugs. I still see my role, Minuet, Chloe can call me. I don't even talk to these people on a regular basis, but it's always going to be a level of love and endearment because we knew what it was. We knew what it was. So, we were really, really close. And I'm always going to be grateful for how our friendship had blossomed. Because I needed it. Even you as a mom, like when I became mom, I was scared as hell. But you was like, it's gonna work out. You gave me words, like even with your issues, you know what I mean? Like it was just, I needed that. Remember we went and sat in the park. You saw me, I was like, I really just didn't know how I was going to get to the next day. So you were definitely a part of my community and I'm grateful for that. And I knew you had went through your stuff and was going through things, but I never was like, I don't love Kate. I don't like Kate anymore. It was never that energy. It was always like, I'm going to forever have love for Kate. And that was it, period.
Yeah, it's interesting how entering comedy, you don't realize at first maybe that it really is going to be a journey as well, like finding out who you are and going through different things. Because I know myself in comedy, I was extra bubbly at first. And now I'm way more, I just don't have the energy I once had. Like it's not, it's like something I'm like a little.
Well, I think that we just have to pivot. We have to pivot as creators. You know, we talked about this when it comes to like the business aspect. Like we never came into this like, oh, I want to be a comedian to make money. we came into this because we had a passion. We love making people laugh. We love making people feel good. Has it been disheartening to know that that's not the only thing that matters? 100%, right? But that doesn't mean that, you know, you still can't do what you can.
Well, there you go. So we're going to wrap it up. Where can people find you? Social media, shows, whatever you want to plug.
Yeah, so you can find me. You can go on my website, aminaimani.com. I have an email list. I don't know if I have it linked to my website, but it is linked on all my social media. So if you go on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, my bio will have the link to sign up for my email list. And I have been doing an awesome job, if I don't say myself, by making sure I type in my emails and say, hey, this is where you can see me. Because even though I'm not like creating online content or whatever that I feel like I should be doing, and I'm not, I do perform weekly and you can come out. And I do love it when my friends come out and see me, and now I have newfound fans. So come out, hear the jokes you saw on YouTube live and in person. Hopefully you'll laugh again. If not, you'll be like, oh, I can do this. And then go ahead and give it a try and see how you land on your face. But no, seriously, like, yeah. But all things Amina Imani, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
Awesome.
Go watch my Comedy Central set over and over, yes, and over and over again. a million views.
Yeah, I need to go look at the comments now that you're saying that none are negative. I love that. Or very few, like, no, they can be nasty. So that's amazing that they're not.
Well, yeah, somebody was just like, I don't get it. She sounds like she's talking to a friend. And I was like, honestly, even in that is an amazing compliment. Like, you, that's how effortless I am on stage. Like, you think that's how I call and talk to my friend. Foolish.
Yeah, it's not an insult. So for me, we have a live podcast. It's me, CG, John Koppel, Justin Newman, and Ambler at the Lab. It's going to be the 23rd. Getting close to Christmas, some good holiday vibes. Come out. Tickets are available online. Go to the Lab. And then I'll be performing in Scranton for New Year's Eve. I'll start updating my website. Dang. Now I am booking more shows, so I need to now keep my website updated. So I need to do that soon. Anyway, Amina, you're amazing. It's been lovely having you on, as always. I love watching you blossom into this incredible badass woman that you are. Like, you made your dreams a living, and you're being a mom. So pretty bad.
Yeah, I have to remember that. Some of the things that I ask for are definitely present.
Today. Miracles, miracles, yeah. Miracles are all over you. So I can see them.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for coming.
Love you, Kate.
All right.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.